world began. Without understanding this concept, then we will constantly question God and others. Well, if God knew everything, then why did he let Adam fall in the garden? If God knew everything, why did he let me get in the wreck? If God knew everything, why did he let me marry the wrong woman? If God knew everything, why? We have to understand the mystery of this fellowship between God and man as God. So that we understand that as God, he knows all things, but he operates like a man. It was God's purpose from the beginning of the world, before it began. The Bible says that Christ was the lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the earth. Before the world was even started, he was already there, dead on a cross, if you will. He already had, but yet he lived it out, just as the prophet said. Even Jesus was predestined to his purpose, and so are you. Now, I want to look at Romans 9 and 9. This is where sometimes we struggle. For this is the word of promise at this time. At this time. You see, it's like when God told Sarah that she would conceive, she laughed. And God said, don't laugh at me. At the appointed time, I'll be back. So God's got, he lets us live this thing out with appointments. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. You all got an appointment with life today and tomorrow. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, in parentheses, it says, for the children. See, he's given us a thought. He said, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So God, knowing all things, said unto Sarah, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. See, I know how this story ends, but they're going to walk it out. But I can tell you how the story goes. As it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they hadn't even done anything yet. They're not even born yet. He says, one of them I love, the other one I hate. It's like, have you ever watched a movie or a game or a football game, whatever it is, and you've already seen it and you're sitting there with somebody else who's never seen it and you got to keep telling them, shut up, let me watch it. Oh, wait till they get to this part. Oh, this is good, what's coming up. Oh, he's going to catch that ball. Oh, shut up and let me watch it. You ever done that? Well, see, that's the same principle. God has already seen this movie. It's over. And he's saying, I can tell you what's going to happen. The elder will serve the younger. Yeah, and I can tell you what's going to happen. One of them I'm going to love, one I'm going to hate. But they're going to live it out. So it's like a movie that's already run. But tomorrow, see, I got to get up and go to work, and I don't know what I'm facing. Watch. So because God said, one I love, one I hate, and hadn't even done anything, you say, well, look, God's not fair. The Bible never said he was fair. Not one place did it say God is fair. We often quote, oh, God is fair. It doesn't say that. Favor is not fair. When your teacher favored you over all the other students, what did you deserve to be favored? Well, God favored a lot of people in the Bible. What it says is God is just. He's just. I like that. So what shall we say then in Romans 9 and 14? We're struggling. What are we going to say? Is there unrighteous with God? Because he said, one of them's going to, I already know how this is going to go. So why do we live it out? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And this is where people struggle. Well, God's just never going to have mercy on me. Let me tell you something. You do the same thing. I'm trying to teach you about a man in God and not a God in a man. You do the same thing. Somebody comes up to you and say, "Hey, you knucklehead, give me $5. I'm hungry." You say, "Go sober up, you old man. I'm not giving you $5. You're going to take that $5 and drink it down. No, I'm not giving you. Get out of here." And you harden his heart even further. I'm going someplace. And you harden his heart even further. Because you saw his heart is not sincere. Yet another man comes up to you and says, "Sir, I'm really struggling. I lost my job and I'm very hungry." And tears are coming down his face. And you say, if you could just find a way to give me $5, whatever you could, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to go to that McDonald's right there and get me a burger. And before long, you're crying too. And you say, "Here's 20. Now, wait a minute. One you had mercy on and one you did not. God, that's what he's saying. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. You do the same thing. To one old lady, you stop and change her flat. To another one, you say, "I don't have time. Let somebody else do it." But yet we get upset with God when you do the same thing. Now, I'm going to help you out to understand God better because he operates like a man. What you look at, one you have mercy on and one you don't. Why didn't you have mercy on the other man? His heart was not right. The other one's heart was right. And because his heart was right, it pulled the compassion out of you. And you had compassion on him. So God looks at what? The heart. So as God, he knew the heart of Esau and the heart of Jacob. But as a man, he lets them live it out. So then, in 16th verse, "It is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy." You can't run hard enough. You can't desire it enough to get it. That's not it. That guy can just say, "I can't believe you're not going to give me $5. I demand you to give me $5. I'll follow you to the home till you give me $5. Get it? It doesn't matter how bad you want this thing. It's not based on how high you jump, how long you run, or how much you will it. It's based upon repentance. I jumped ahead a little too quick. When you look at these two characters, they're two opposites of the spectrum in every way. One's this hairy guy and the other one's a smooth guy. One likes to cook and the other one likes to hunt, if you will. They're two opposites, and so it is. There's two opposite ways God viewed them. One he loved and the other one he hated. Two opposite things. But let's quickly examine why God loved one and why he hated the other one. Esau received the judgments of God, and yes, Jacob received the mercies of God, but why would this happen? They both wanted the same thing. They both ran after the blessing. And when you look at this, you would see that Esau was outdoing what his father asked him to do. He said, "Before I die, I would like to eat venison one more time. I'd like for you to..." He goes out to please his father. It looks like he's doing the right thing. And while he's gone, in comes the conniver, the trickster, and he dresses up like Esau and tricked his old man and got the blessing. And God had said, "I love him. Do I love him?" That's not what God loved about him. The difference between Esau and Jacob, what God loved is Jacob found a place to repent. And the Bible says Esau found not a place to repent. But Jacob said, I am who they say I am. I am a trickster. God, change me. I won't let you go till you bless me. I vow, God. I give up everything I've got. I vow, God, if you'll just bring me back to my house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. I'm through with the world. I'm sorry I got ill-gotten gain. I repent. It's like Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, a man had two sons. And one of them, he told both of them, he said, go out in the vineyard and work today. And one of them said, I will not. And the other one said, yeah, daddy, I'll go do that. And the one that said, yeah, daddy, I'll go do that, didn't. And the one that said, I will not, repented and did. He said, now which one was justified? The one that repented. The one that repented got the mercy. I will have mercy on whom repents. And if you don't repent, I got no mercy. So as God, he can have mercy. But as man, he lets us live out our destiny. Romans 9:17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now you might say, so God raised up Pharaoh to harden his heart so he could go to hell, and he could show how mighty God was. No! What it's meaning is he raised him up to be the Pharaoh. When he was a little boy, he already had a hard heart. He already wanted to be a leader and an evil leader. And so God says, I'll use you because you're never going to repent anyway. You're never going to say, I'm sorry anyway. So I'll use you against the ones that will repent. Because every vessel of honor or dishonor will give God glory. Everyone. Every one of them. Everybody here is going to give God glory. He'll use you to get glory. He'll use your hard-headedness. He'll use your stupidity. He'll use your ignorance. He'll use your compassion. He'll use every attribute you got to get glory. So God looks at the hearts of men and women who are willing to repent, and he has mercy. For those who are not, he says, that's okay. I'll harden him harder because he's not going to repent anyway. Are you with me? If Pharaoh would have repented, God would have forgiven him. Nebuchadnezzar repented and God forgave him and raised him back up. The Bible even says this, there was none, no, not one more wicked than Jezebel. And God gave her a space and a time to repent from her fornication, but she repented not. That shows you that God is just. And willing, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's why he has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. If you repent, you get mercy. If you don't repent, there is no mercy. I think maybe I'm getting through to somebody. Hallelujah. Romans 9:19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? I mean, why do I have to live this thing out if he already knows? If this is what God has purposed in me, then I can't change it, right? No, what it's saying is that God has already seen your plight. He already sees what you're going to do before you do it. However, you have to live this thing out day by day. He said, But, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, of the same piece of clay, to make one vessel of honor and another of dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory. See, everything's going to be made known, whether you're a vessel of honor or dishonor, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore appointed unto glory. Even us who he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Osee or Hosea, I will call them. Now watch. I will call them my people, which were not my people. Something changed. And her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be called the children of the living God. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Paul is trying to get us to understand that he is the potter and you are the clay. And so every one of us was destined to hell. Every one of us, through Adam's transgression, we all are destined to hell. If you don't do anything, you go to hell. That's as plain and simple as it comes. It takes repentance. And the Bible says, and I read it to you the other day, and it kind of like, even Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said, every time they ask. And you would read so many times, and Israel sinned against God, and they repented, and God turned from his wrath. How many times do you read that? It's over and over. So the people that were not going to be my people repented. Now they are my people. Repentance is what brings on the mercy of God. Too many people are hard-headed and won't repent. He took Israel, this backsliding nation, and had them repent, and they found mercy. God's got a way to get you to repent, I'm telling you. Talk to Jonah. Jonah's not here to tell you, but if he was here to tell you, he would tell you that even the wicked city of Nineveh repented at my preaching. And all I said was, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's all I said. And Lord, they repented. Jonah went through a lot of things he had to repent to. In the belly of the whale, he said, in the belly of hell, cried out I, and said, I will look again to thine holy temple. Hallelujah. And God had mercy on him when he repented and sent his word unto him a second time. Oh, Lord, let me move on. Ephesians 2 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's rich in mercy. He's got plenty of mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. It's not by how bad you want it, by how hard you run. It is simply by the mercies and the grace of God that we are saved. The Bible says where a broken heart is and a contrite spirit, God is near. You give me somebody that's haughty and prideful, God is so far. He's as far as the east is from the west, from people that won't humble themselves and say, I need God. I need mercy. I need help. God, change me from who I am to what you want me to be. And then verse 16, so then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you pray. We need to do those things. But it's not about that. It is about getting the mercies of God, because you can't pray enough to get there. You can't read your Bible enough to get there. You can't go to church enough to get there. But you can repent and get there. But of God that sheweth mercy. I would like to say no one here wants to be lost. And you will be unless you have God's mercy. Just remember that God as a man knows all things, yet he lives it out with you one day at a time. In closing, even God heard in heaven of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did he say? I will go down there and see. Well, if he's God, he already ought to know. But as a man, he heard. And he said, let me go check out what I heard. Tower of Babel, same thing. God said, let me go down there and see. Well, if he's God, he already knew. But as a man, he said, let me go see. As a man, he stood there and said, talked to Abraham, said, if there be 50 righteous souls, will you spare the city? I think I will. Well, as God, he'll just go do what you're going to do. But you see, he operates like a man. Yet he knows all things. He knew that city was going to be destroyed because there wasn't 10 in there that was righteous. The God who created the world and put people in it even repented, meaning he was brought to sorrow. that man's thought was evil continually. And he said, I will destroy man that I created. But read the next verse. Yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can make it. You've got to find grace. You've got to find mercy. Hallelujah. Even in Job, and I won't read this, but in Job, you might recall there was a day that the sons of God showed themselves unto God. Sons of men showed themselves unto God. And who was there? The devil. Satan was there with them. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous in all his ways. He knew the end of Job's trial, but Job had to live it out. So this morning, I just leave you with this. We need to trust the God, and we need to trust the man in the God. We understand God in man, but do you better understand a man in God today? Because before they saw Jesus walking, he already was a man in God. He was hid in him. And we need to understand the mystery of that fellowship. How that God can know all things, yet he acts like he doesn't know anything. He acts like I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's pray about that. You see? It's just like, again, you've watched something before and now you're going to watch it again. You know how it's going to turn out, but you watch it again. And so God is living this thing out with us as we live out our destiny. And ye are predestined. Why? Because he's already seen the movie. He knows your heart. He knows whether you'll accept this message or reject this message. He already knows that. But you have to hear it. And I'm glad you did. God bless you. We're going to take a quick break. Morning worship is coming up in just about 10 minutes.